Chapter 31.
Ray Sloan has given up and given in. Gallius Rax has left her here with a front row seat for what may very well be the last battle of this war. Because even if the Empire wins Jakku, then what? The Empire that this world has borne is not her empire at all. It is a warped and twisted thing, sand scoured and gone to scrap. So she kneels. The burning in her legs has dimmed to a dull, numb ache. Her shoulders feel it too. Her hips, her neck, everything hurts. Her lips are dry. Her eyes feel like fruits left out too long in the sun. Worse, her side aches. Right where that damn woman, the pilot, popped her one back on Chandrilla. Every time she bothers to take a breath, it's like someone is slowly sawing a knife in and out of her ribs. She can't go anywhere. She and Brenton are on the roof. She pondered crawling to the edge of it and rolling off, if only to fall far enough to break her neck and end the misery. Meanwhile, Brenton is curled in upon himself, moaning and rolling around. Clearly, he's lost to madness. All the while, she watches the battle creep ever closer to the base. The Empire's line isn't breaking, but it's falling back. In the distance, she spies a mushroom plume of fire erupt from the top of a walker before it torturously topples over. Not far from that, an X-Wing, so far away it looks almost like a child's toy whipping about, clips its wing on a spire of rock and crashes into a DF-9 turret placement. Trooper bodies fly. In the sky, the two fleets rage against each other. It's hard to tell much of what's happening. The sun is so bright it feels like it's about to set her corneas on fire. Best she can see is that the Imperial fleet is holding firm. The Republic ships aren't making a dent. Not yet. But she fears they will. It's inevitable. Soon it'll come here, to the base. That's what Rax wants. Not only does she get to sit here and watch it all collapse, she'll be underneath it when it does. When the base goes, she'll go too. Maybe captured. Probably dead. And Rax will get away. But to where? And why? It's his endgame she can't figure out. All of this is a show. It's in service to something. And that place he was protecting out in the valley, near the plaintive hand, it means something. Not that it matters. He's gone. She remains. Sloane laughs. Then weeps. Then bows her head like a penitent monk. Ah! Brenton cries out suddenly. He rolls over, arching his back and baring his teeth to the sky. Pain seems to cross his face. Suddenly a wave of energy pulses the air, causing all the hairs on her arms and neck to stiffen. Brenton stands up, shaking his hands. The two cuffs around his wrist drop away. She looks at him, astonished. You're free.
And you're next.
He bends down, scooping something into his open hands, talking as he does.
You ever notice how dirty this planet is? I don't just mean it like every planet is dirty. I mean it's so dry, so desiccated. Everything erodes to dust. Dust picked up on the wind and blown everywhere. Like here.
He shows her his hands, which are now piled with little puffs of brown and rust-colored dust. Then he gets behind her and begins massaging the dust right into the cuffs.
What are you doing?
Rebels like me, we get trained on how to escape all kinds of situations. Magna cuffs are hard to beat, but not impossible.
Long as you can get something in between the magnetic couplings. In this case...
Another pulse of energy as the cuffs fall from her wrists.
The dust of Jakku.
I'm free, she thinks. You're something, Brenton Wexley.
She knows now that her instincts to preserve his life were right.
We rebels had to stay ahead of you Imperials somehow.
We need to move fast, she says.
Find a ship. Intercept Rax.
You think he's going back to the valley?
It's our only shot. Something's going on here. Something big that I don't understand. Even if he's not there, whatever he's hiding will be the key to understanding it all. Come on!
Sloane moves with long strides, ignoring the pain in her side, in her legs, in her throat. She pushes away her dehydration, pretending it just doesn't exist. As she finds the turbo lift down, she already begins to formulate a plan in her head. They're going to need a ship. Going overland won't do. Too slow. And the battle raging here will make traversing the surface of Jakku an untenable prospect. That means they need to be airborne in something fast. A TIE could work because it's fast, nimble, versatile. Good news is, they've got plenty of Imperial starfighters here. An automatic belt-fed line of them set up for fueling, launch, landing, and refueling. Churn and burn. Fighters, interceptors, bombers, strikers. Move them up and out. Get them flying. The lift hums downward. It dings open. They step out and see a dust-swept hallway. It's empty. The base is like a tomb. Dirt-caked and filthy. And quiet as the grave, too. Abandoned already? Sloane wonders. Or is it just that the entire breadth and depth of the Imperial forces are already out there, fighting tooth and nail against the New Republic incursion? She suspects the latter. All the pieces have been pushed out onto the game board.
None are in reserve.
Rax is betting the Empire. All or nothing. A mouse droid wheels past, blurping and squeaking as it rounds the corner. It's the only sign of life they see. That is, until they round the same corner. The mouse droid comes squealing back, zipping through Sloane's legs. There's a moment of distraction as she dances out of its way, and when she turns back around, she's face to face with an Imperial officer. Non-com black, small hat askew. The bars on the woman's chest indicate she's a prison warden, which doesn't make any sense because...
Nora, Brenton says.
You,
Sloane says to the woman. A blaster thrusts up into Sloane's face.
Yes, me.
Nora came out of a docking bay along the side, finding a base mostly empty. No troopers, only droids and a few officers pecking about. At the time, she thought,
this is it. This is the end of the Empire. They just don't know it yet.
And strange as it is, a sense of hopelessness settled over her. And with it, a feeling of lost purpose. The Empire had been her enemy for so long. What happens when it's gone? It's like putting out a fire by sucking all the oxygen out of the room. The fire's gone, but now how do you breathe? She had to put that aside, though, because as she reminded herself, she still had a purpose. Find her husband. Find Sloane. And one minute she's wandering the labyrinthine base, stepping past an abandoned, gutted supply room, and the next she's rounding the corner and meeting her quarry face to face. It takes her a second to recognize Sloane. It takes her even longer to register her husband saying her name. Next thing she knows, she's got her blaster pistol up and pointed right in Sloane's face. Instantly, she wants to pull the trigger and vacate the woman's brains from her skull. A surge of anger geysers up inside her like a sprout of corrosive acid. No justice, only revenge. But Brenton steadies her hand.
Nora, no.
Brenton, she says,
the name spoken not happily, but with trepidation and grief.
Get your hand off me. Why are you here? Why are you with her?
Paranoia unspools inside Nora's mind. She fears suddenly that he's still programmed, still enslaved to the chip embedded in his brainstem. Bones takes the cue and grabs his wrist, twisting it so hard he cries out in pain. The droid smashes her husband against the wall.
You hurt Temin!
The heavily modified B-1 droid begins to bend the arm back farther, 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 until Nora can hear the bones creaking and straining. "Bones," she says with a reluctant admonition. "Stop! Just hold him."
"Nora!"
Brenton pleads.
"I'm not with the Empire. I didn't mean to do those things. Is our son okay?"
Sloane, with her hands up, says,
"He's right. He was made to do it."
"Shut your mouth!" Nora hisses at her.
"Both of you, be quiet! We don't have time for a conversation."
"What's going to happen is we're going back to my ship. We are getting out of here. And soon as we have a window, I'm taking you both back to Chandrilla."
"It's not me you want," Sloane says. "Nora, she's right."
"Quiet, Grand Admiral. Look at me. Do I look like an admiral anymore? I'm sneaking around an Imperial base with a rebel. Nora, don't be an idiot."
At that word, Bones extends his other arm, the one not poised to break Brenton's limb, and extends his concealed vibroblade. It thrusts up under Sloane's chin. It nicks the skin. A bead of blood swells up like a little balloon.
"I'm sorry for calling you an idiot, but there's more going on here."
"Nora, please, listen to her," Sloane continues.
"A man named Rax. He's in charge of the Empire. He's the one who put a chip in your husband's head. He's the one who set up the attack on Liberation Day. I was just a..."
Sloane cringes as if this is hard for her to admit.
"I was just a distraction. He's the puppeteer. There's something out beyond Nima's canyons and caverns. A valley. Rax is protecting something there. Take me there. We can finish this."
Indecision wars inside Nora's heart. She wants to shoot Sloane right in the chest, or club her in the head, or drag her by the hair back to the shuttle. She wants to kiss her husband, and kill him, and throttle him to ask him why, and apologize for leaving him behind, and pretend like none of this ever happened, and that she and her son and her man are still back on Akiva, living their best life. Nora tells herself, "Sloane is lying." The woman is a practiced deceiver, and Brenton is on the leash of whatever control chip she hammered into his head. And yet she's clearly right. Sloane is no Grand Admiral anymore. She was brought here as a prisoner. The Empire no longer calls Rey Sloane its leader, or even its daughter. What if she's right? What if that man, Rax, is the answer to everything? Nora tells herself,
"I don't have to care about that. I can do the job I was brought here to do.
Capture Sloane, save her husband, and go home." But what if that doesn't fix anything? What if Nora has a chance, one chance, to stop the real monster behind the scenes? What if this Rax is really the puppet master Sloane claims he is? Can Nora just let him go?
"Let's go,"
she says.
"Nora, wait!"
"You better be right about this Rax," Nora says. "Because if I find out you're wrong, or that you're playing me, I'll have my droid here break every centimeter of every bone in your bodies. Are we clear?"
Sloane grins.
"Clear as the blue sky, Nora Wexley."